It's Bobby Kennedy here, and I have a really good show today where we're going to try to figure out what's happening at VAERS, at the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. The entire COVID-19 vaccine enterprise, which is an experimental vaccine, everybody acknowledges that. And so it's really important since we did not complete the preclinical trials. Those are incomplete. It won't be completed to 2022, 2023. It's really important that we have a very robust post-licensing surveillance system that can pick up injuries, that can identify different injury profiles of all the different vaccines, which age groups they're affecting, how many people are actually getting killed, how many people are getting sick, what are all the different injuries that they're experiencing, and it's not working. There's a long history of VAERS. It's a broken system. We've acknowledged that for many, many years, since 2010. And an HHS study that you'll be hearing about, the Lazarus study, found that fewer than 1% of vaccine injuries are reported to VAERS. So I've got a really superstar panel on today who are all experts in different aspects of the system. And I'm going to begin with Eileen Lorio, my friend, who is the co-author of the book HPV on Trial, published in 2018. She contributes to research and articles for CHD's Defender. Eileen has a background in accounting and finance, but now occupies her time with vaccine safety research and writing. Eileen, welcome to the show, and let's get right into it.
Yep.
Just give us a little bit about the history of VAERS so that people who are not familiar with the debate can at least understand the landscapes.
So VAERS stands for the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and it was born out of the 1986 National Vaccine Injury Act, which was passed by Congress in order to protect children, ideally, but what it ended up doing was exonerating the vaccine manufacturers from civil liability. The VAERS system was set up in order to fulfill a requirement of the act to report to Congress on safety, which has never really happened. It was supposed to be a biannual report. That's never really happened. But part of the act revolved around CDC creating a system for the public to report, the public and health professionals to report injuries when they happened. It was really to capture rare events and events that health professionals thought were unlikely to happen so that they could protect the children. But in all cases, what's happened is very little has been reported there until 2020, 2021, as we can see from the trends. And I think the difference here is the hyper focus on the COVID vaccinations. The fact that all vaccination professionals were told that it's mandatory to report. So what we've learned from the Lazarus report was that 1 to 10% of cases are reported. It may be slightly higher for the COVID vaccine adverse events, which are now trending over 400,000 and only going higher every week. So there's clearly an issue. I think the COVID vaccine reports account for about 30% of the total vaccine reports ever recorded since 1990. So that's where we're headed. It's trending very high.
You have it. The hockey stick. Mm-hmm. Graph lines that show the injuries throughout the year. And then you see in 2020, they jump up just astronomically. And we don't know whether we're simply getting better reporting now or whether the injury rates are so momentous and monumental that it's just the same rate of people who are reporting injuries, but the injuries, but there are so many of them, we're seeing more of them being reported. Well,
that graph was the deaths reports, which is now showing at 45% of the entire deaths reported to CDC post-vaccination. And remember, this is a surveillance system. It's supposed to trigger alerts and warnings. It's not supposed to establish causation, which we know. We're not, you know, expecting it to turn out accurate data, but it is a warning system. And if that isn't a warning system, then I don't know what the CDC is doing right now. We're always being told, oh, but it's not supposed to generate causation and blah, blah, blah. However, there are about 67% of those death reports reported by medical professionals, and that can't be ignored. The reports are very detailed. They have medical details that can't be reported by the public. This isn't just, it isn't as passive as what people think. And it's being actively investigated by CDC on a weekly basis, which we also know.
Let me interject a little here so that people understand why this system is so broken. The reason it's so broken is because of a fundamental design flaw. It is a voluntary system.
Correct.
Which means it relies on doctors, generally speaking, though individuals can report, they're highly unlikely to do so. They're highly unlikely to even recognize that their injury was caused by the vaccine. Doctors are taught that vaccines don't cause injuries. And they also have giant economic and also reputational incentives for underreporting. So if a pediatrician advise a young mother to get an MMR vaccine or a mercury-based vaccine and tells her that it's going to protect her child's health. 2 days later, that child has a seizure, or a year later, the child develops food allergies or neurodevelopmental disorder, and the mother comes back. Even if the injury happens in a week, it's a seizure. The mother comes back and says, my son has syncope, he's staring at the wall, he's had a seizure, was it the vaccine? Doctor is highly likely to tell her it wasn't the vaccine. It's a natural thing at that phenomenon at that age. And that's what we hear again and again and again. And doctors are taught in medical school that vaccine injuries are mythology. They also are disincentivized from reporting too many. Doctors who do report them are punished by professional societies. And we see that again and again. And also there's long-term injuries, for example, food allergies or ASD or autism that may not be diagnosed for 3 or 4 years, or cancers after the vaccine is given. And virtually nobody will report those vaccine injuries. So we had in 2010, after years of complaints by medical professionals, by regulatory officials saying this system is broken, is capturing almost none of the injuries. HHS actually did a study called the Lazarus study where they went to one HMO, Harvard Pilgrim, and they had designed a machine counting system. And the way that machine counting system worked, and it's very rational, this is how we ought to be doing it. It looks at all these HMOs have all your vaccine records down to batch number, and they have all your medical claims. And so it's an easy thing today with artificial intelligence look at all those vaccines from hundreds of thousands of people and then look at subsequent medical claims and do a cluster analysis where you can associate diabetes or food allergies, peanut allergies, neurodevelopmental disorder, tics, Tourette's syndrome, narcolepsy, and see if certain clusters occur following certain vaccinations or even certain batches of certain vaccinations. And that's what HHS, a sub-agency of HHS, the Agency for Healthcare Research, was paid $1 million. They spent 3 years on that study, and they developed that system, and they installed it at Harvard Pilgrim, which is one of the smaller HMOs. They came back and said, it works like a charm. We're getting probably 90% of vaccine injuries counted. And guess what we found? It's not 1 in 1 million children who are getting harmed. It's one in every 39, 2.7% of children were suffering harms. And the per vaccination rate was enormous. So CDC got that report and they immediately shut down the program because they didn't, that program, that machine counting system was supposed to be rolled out to all the other HMOs as soon as it worked, and it worked like a charm. And instead of doing that, CDC literally stopped answering its phone calls on the AHRQ from their sister agency. They did not want to install that. And that's kind of where we are today. And that's where we were. We have that same old system that they said they found collected 1%, fewer than 1% of vaccine injuries. What that means, put another way, a less polite way, 99%, over 99% of vaccine injuries are missed, are not counted. Let me ask you this. When a doctor calls up theirs, who answers that phone? Is that like a teenager somewhere, you know, who's on has a summer job doing that? Who are these people? Because we never hear from them. Are they locked in a room somewhere and sworn to secrecy? What is going on with theirs?
That's a great question, Bobby, and thank you very much for having us all on the podcast. Well, first of all, they don't really call the people at the program. They just submit various reports. As far as the officials within the CDC and the FDA who run the program, I don't know. I haven't been able to figure that out. But you make an interesting point about the Harvard Pilgrim research. There's a line in that paper that people often cite saying that there's less than 1% of all of adverse events are reported to VAERS. And that's certainly in the paper, but we should revisit that a little bit, just like you were saying before, how clinicians are discouraged from reporting because of certain consequences. It's really hard to know whether or not that less than 1% number is translatable to patients and so forth.
And what is the transparency of the system? So my friend had a brother-in-law who we advised to get the vaccine, and the brother-in-law died of a heart attack 2 days later. He also had a daughter who on that same day, and he was very pro-vaccine. He had a daughter who on that same day had an appointment with a pediatrician in Miami, a young pediatrician who also took the shot and whose platelet levels dropped to zero. And then he died in the 4 or 5 days afterward. And so he knew two people who were likely casualties of the vaccine. And that struck him as very, very unusual. And he reported the injury, but he was not able to determine. First of all, he had a hard time reporting his brother-in-law. So that's one issue. You know, the user friendliness, the user accessibility. The other issue was he complained that it was very hard for him to understand whether the report that he made actually was tabulated anywhere. So can you guys, any of you, Stan or Eileen or Wayne, can you talk to that? If I do report an injury, can I make sure that it is reported somewhere? Am I given a number so that I know that my injury is recorded?
When you submit the report online, you're given an initial identification number that's sort of an internal identifier to track your case through the system before it's published online in the downloadable data set. And when it's published on the downloadable data set, it's given its final VAERS ID number that you can use to look it up on sites like MedAlerts.org or CDC Wonder or so forth. During that phase of submission before it's published, you're interacting with people at the CDC and the FDA. If they have any questions, you can fill them in on details and they'll add details to, you know, to the report and so forth. And then finally, when it's published, it goes to the final data set.
And let me ask, there is some transparency. I'll be able to see if I reported to somebody, I will be able to verify that made it into the tabulation. You're saying that is happening.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, thank you all so much for joining me, Eileen, Lorio, Stan Gotchel, Wayne Brody.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.